Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 25-16 win for the Titans against the Colts. They improve to 2-1 on the season. The Colts fall to 0-3. So, you know, the Colts, they're not done. There's still a chance to dig their way out of this, but we're getting close to desperation time from the team from Indianapolis. 0-3 is not a good start.
You can't get to 0-4. Although the schedule gets lighter and all that, if the Titans take care of business Sunday, as they should.
Yeah.
As they should. If they do, and you fall to 0-4 against the Dolphins, I mean, yeah, at some point it's a real problem. But I still think they have a real solid chance. Especially as I look at the Steelers and I look at the Patriots, two teams I thought would be better than they are.
Yeah, they don't look very good.
Yeah, I think there's opportunity for the Colts to still get in, and that would make them the seventh team since 1980 to start 0-3 and get in. They need Carson. I mean, it's all about Wentz. Wentz, I thought, actually was pretty good yesterday, given the circumstances. And I think if he gets back to being Carson Wentz and he can break the pocket – and do what he has always done well, that could be a pretty formidable team before it's all said and done. That's a huge if with him.
Yeah, and if he gets back healthy, does he stay healthy? I think that's a fair point or fair question at this point as well, given the injury history of Carson Wentz, even the recent history of Carson Wentz in his time with Indianapolis. There is a breaking news trait in the NFL, the Panthers.
AFC South related.
Yeah, absolutely. The Panthers closing in on a trade for cornerback C.J. Henderson. So Carolina sending tight end Dan Arnold and a third-round pick to the Jags for the former first-round pick Henderson and a fifth-rounder. Immediate help in Carolina while Henderson starts anew. Things going really well for Jacksonville so far.
So Carolina, that's a little go-for-it trade. Yeah, as they have a nice start. They're interesting. I do like their D. I like their D. We'll see with Darnold. And that's now you make that D a little saltier with a good cornerback. You also now make the Jaguars even less fearsome, a terrible team that they already are. So no excuses when you play the Jags this year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Shane from Ashland City texting in. I know it's only week three, but Derrick Henry is already projected to hit 400 carries this year. What do y'all think of that? What do you think of the workload that we've seen from Derrick Henry so far? He had 41 touches against Seattle, 28 carries yesterday for Henry, 3 receptions.
I think if you handle business in New York, I'm sorry, Michelle, New Jersey.
Jersey.
On Sunday. You know, that's a game where maybe a nice 18-carry day for Derrick Henry might not look so bad, right? You know, you play the Texans and that's the problem. You play the Texans and Jaguars 4 times, which is a chance for like 1,000 yards for him just in those 4 games. But also, yeah, I'd say here and there you pick some spots. Mekhi Sargent got a carry yesterday.
He did.
You know, here and there, get him a few carries. McNichols, maybe Evans comes.
It'd be nice to have Darrington Evans in there
at some point. But, yeah, I mean, right now you go to Seattle. I mean, it was all about getting him the ball and just hammering them with him in the fourth quarter. Yesterday, you're in a close game. That fourth quarter drive for a field goal was – how much time did that take off the clock? I mean, that was an epic drive, which again, included some big-time conversions from Tannehill. But that specific drive was, 14 plays, yep. 67 yards, 7:22 off the clock. I mean, it just killed the Colts. So they get it down. You get a big red zone stop because, again, Breon Borders comes in, gives you a nice lift. They go at him
twice. Breon looked good in there, man.
That's great. I mean, that's where you have twos who can come in and do that. That's a big part of being a winning football team. But, you know, it's 10:20 left in the game. It's a 6-point game. And so the Titans take 7.5 minutes off the clock, and then they're basically toast. So – that's the workload. A lot of it was on that drive, too, including a catch for Derrick Henry. If you're in close games, how are you not using him like that?
It's a great question. And to that point, the NFL on CBS has come out with a pretty telling stat on Twitter. Here are the top five running backs in terms of rush attempts over the last 2 weeks. Nick Chubb at 33 with number five. Peyton Barber with 36 carries with number four. Aaron Jones at 36. Joe Milton, number two on the list at 38. Derrick Henry, 63. So you go from 38 to 63. Kind of in a league all by himself.
That's, yeah. And you just, like, I don't feel like you want that to be, you don't want him to be almost double anyone else, you know, over a stretch of time, right?
I have a feeling he's going to be.
But, yeah, it's, but this is where, like, this is one of those, this is the sort of one of those secondary but still important storylines from a week like this. Go kick the crap out of the Jets. And you know what? Derrick Henry could probably go for a big number against the Jets. But maybe then instead you get him extra rest and the overall accumulation isn't there. I mean, like yesterday, yeah, he launched Darius Leonard and he had the stiff arm after the catch and he punishes people. He also took some hits yesterday. Yeah. I mean, those safeties were coming downhill and trying to deliver punishing hits. You can't tell me that there's no impact, as much as a cyborg as he seems, on him over the long haul.
Yeah, look, I think it's a good idea to start to reduce some of those touches in games where you can. The problem is, with A.J. Brown hurt and with Julio Jones, Lord knows what's going on with him, the game plan on Sunday could be, yeah, we're just going to give the ball to Derrick Henry over and over and over again. Like that could be the way you have to win if other guys aren't available. So,
well, it could be, or it could be, hey, NWI, here come 15 targets your way, buddy.
It could be.
By the way, DJ Burnside, Dennis, a nice NWI with the NWA type letters straight out of Bloomington.
That was great with his face on there.
He's got the gloves. Is that Eazy-E's body with his face? I think it is.
Tim from Lewisburg on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I instantly thought of Rex Road when Nick Westbrook Akina scored yesterday. Need Joe to wear his button live on the air on YouTube.
Maybe I'll do that.
Maybe you'll do that tomorrow.
It's home because, you know, I wouldn't actually wear a player button to, like, try to be a professional covering a sporting event. Maybe I guess I could wear it in here, though, and have a laugh.
We're not about professionalism.
Yeah, we're
not.
Yeah, we're completely unprofessional here, so that's fine.
Matt from Camden texting in. Someone that needs some love from yesterday is Harold Landry. He only had four tackles and half a sack, but he had five quarterback hits. He works his tail off.
So you didn't just listen to our last segment when we talked about all that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, totally agreed. Harold Landry. What, did he play every snap? I mean, Harold Landry
probably pretty close.
Is a solid football player and durable. And you can't overstate the importance of being available all the time, practicing every day.
Yeah.
And he actually had a little, I don't remember what it was. He was on the injury report recently. So he gets nicked up too, but he's out there. And then he plays every snap and he makes plays. I thought he was very good yesterday. He and Adaney, if that's correct, were a nice tandem. Not exactly what we thought we'd be talking about at this point. But, again, that's why you get a Borders – and now your top corner goes down, and he saves the day for you. You lose your number one free agent, and you've got an Adaney ready to come in and make plays. It's a critical part of winning in this league.
Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October the 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees. You can learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next, including how concerned are we about the injuries that have piled up now for the Titans. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join Stillman and Company today, 2 to 6, live from the Bode Hotel, located at 401 2nd Avenue South. Bode is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium and a great place to meet your friends and tailgate before the game in the courtyard that offers fire pits, picnic tables, lounge chairs, vintage truck seating, cornhole, and more. Stop by and grab some game swag and sign up for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see WWE Raw at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Monday, October the 4th. So make sure you check that out today. Stillman and Company from 2 to 6. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, reacting to a 25-16 win for the Titans against the Colts. And Joe, it is the good news every time you can beat the Colts if you're the Titans. But it was a costly win yesterday. Bud Dupree not able to give it a go yesterday for the Titans. A.J. Brown got, I'd have to go back and look at how many snaps he got, but it wasn't very much. He was out very early in the game with a hamstring injury. Julio Jones did not really play in the fourth quarter. Christian Fulton leaves the game. It was Rashad Weaver leaves the game with a broken right fibula. It was a very costly day yesterday for the Titans on the injury front. And look, we'll have to wait and see this week on how some of these play out. I think we know that Rashad Weaver is probably done for the year at this point. But with Fulton and A.J. Brown and some of these other names, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But potentially a very costly victory for the Titans yesterday. And I think we've gotten to the point already where injuries have got to be a pretty big concern with this group. You still have Henry and Tannehill, so you feel great about that. Lawan came back in, I thought played pretty well yesterday, but that was a lot of injuries that took place yesterday for the Titans.
No doubt. By the way, on the three best for the Titans, I think that this brings to mind, you know, a guy we haven't talked enough about probably, which is David Long Jr.
He's awesome.
Who was great yesterday. And in for Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown, as of Friday, I mean, it sounded like he was planning to play. Yep. He's had a hamstring, and by the way, that's what happens with hamstrings. I mean, you feel like they're fine, and then you exert, and you're like, nope, it just got tight again, and now you start it all over. So, in the meantime, there's another example of depth really helping the Titans. Long, Borders. You know, obviously we've seen some Brylo do a great job in Seattle with Lawan out that day. And, of course, I mean, at offensive skill, we're seeing backups all over the field. I think the biggest question this week, I guess other than, like, Julio Jones, is he hurt? Is he not? Is he going to play? Whatever. But I would say I don't even put A.J. Brown there because, honestly, I'm just in my mind counting him out for this game. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he's just going to be just fine as of tomorrow, and it was just a tiny little pull. But I don't see why you mess around with that. Hamstrings are so touchy and – there's no set timeline. This you rest this long, you're going to be fine. They can always come back. I just feel like because of that, you just take a week, don't you? And just try to treat it and come back next week. That'd be my guess. But other than that, I'd go with Fulton. Christian Fulton is a huge deal. Last year, we weren't sure if he was any good. He was hurt a lot.
He's been awesome.
He was a rookie. You know, he was a rookie, he was hurt a lot, had no idea. Thought he was one of the most important guys on this year's defense, and so far he has been. He's been really good. And that's a big part of what they do. You can tell they're comfortable now. They're gonna be comfortable matching him up with a top guy in spots when they need to do that. So as well as Breon Borders played in a pinch, gotta have Christian Fulton back.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And look, on the offensive line, I think you're starting to feel a little bit better about where they are with Lawan coming back in, and Nate Davis looks good. Ben Jones, I thought, played well yesterday. So I think the offensive line, you're starting to feel a little bit better. That was a huge concern a couple of weeks ago when they're getting healthier. But you look around, you know, defensively, you brought up Christian Fulton, Jayon Brown hurt as well. And now what does your depth look like at outside linebacker? Because Ola Adeniyi, he's played well. Harold Landry, I thought, played really well yesterday. But Bud Dupree, with the knee flaring up and you not really being able to go yesterday, that's to me a concern as they move forward here. You need Bud Dupree to be active and to be available for this defense. And, you know, you brought it up. I'm not concerned that, you know, he's having ACL problems right now. I think the knee has been healed. He's been cleared from that aspect. But it is about, you know, recovery and battling through soreness and building the strength back up at that knee. We had Bud Dupree on the show last week, and he talked about, you know, he didn't really put a number on it, but you could tell he's not 100%. And he's going to have to get back to that point at some point this year for this Titans defense, I think, to maximize what they can be. I'm interested to see how they handle him, too. I mean, I would assume that, you know, the route they've taken with him with practice, which has basically been very little practice for Bud Dupree the last couple of weeks, is going to have to be how it is for the short term here in his recovery. But if there's any question about the strength or anything to that regard, is it the same thing as A.J. Brown this week where you just say, you know what, let's just give you another week off that knee and see what it looks like the following week? I think that could be the route the Titans go there too.
Yeah, I would think so. And outside linebacker, Weaver out, Dupree, I mean, who knows?
Yep.
You know, that's going to be probably a weekly question. And if what you said is correct, then that's fine. If it's some other, like if there's another issue in the same knee,
yeah,
beyond just, you know, you're coming back, from a big rehab, from a huge injury, and there's a lot that goes into it. Well, if there's more than that, then that's obviously a huge problem. But Derek Roberson is a knee too.
Yep.
And he was limited last Wednesday, and then he wasn't able to go Thursday or Friday and was ruled out Friday. How far is he from getting back? How far is Anthony Firkser with his knee from getting back out there? I still believe. I mean, you seen Mykal Pruitt make a play here and there. Jeff Swaim got a nice play yesterday, but still think this offense can be more effective with Firkser catching passes.
Well, and then what about some of the guys who have been on IR? How close are they to coming back? You know, Randy Bullock, he kicked. I thought he kicked well yesterday. How close is Sam Ficken to being available? Are we ever going to hear anything about Darrington Evans? How close is he to being able to come back? I mean, there's Firkser you brought up. Marcus Johnson, how close is he? I mean, there's quite the injury list developing for the Titans right now.
Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, on Westbrook Akina, who's been a good story and did a good job yesterday other than the fumble, I mean, if Marcus Johnson were healthy, I think Marcus Johnson would have gotten those snaps. That'd be my guess. Although, I guess some of that is run blocking. That does matter.
Yep.
Westbrook Akina gets the job done there. But he's a guy who I really thought was going to be a playmaker for the Titans. And then Josh Reynolds is just, I don't know, man. He's not on the injury report all week. And then he's just a healthy scratch.
That's not good.
It's a bit confusing. But when you have quote unquote Achilles stuff, I mean, to me, I have to think it's just the effect of that on what's the word? Your explosiveness. That's right. PK.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says there's a possibility Weaver can come back this season. Fibula only provides 10% weight bearing, so if you broke one, that's the one you'd want to break. I will take your word for it. I am not a medical person.
On my text line, Dave from Knowlesville says, you guys are depressing me. Hey, your team is 2-1. Just beat the Colts, and really handled the Colts, and made mistakes to make that game closer than it should have been. And, I mean, most of these injuries could be just fine in a short period of time. It's the NFL. I mean, I'm looking at the last injury report from Friday. I mean, the Colts is even longer than the Titans, man. Yep. And they've got issues, too. Quentin Nelson now goes out yesterday. And I mean, it's a long list. It's what the league is. I mean, a big part of who wins it every year is who avoids the serious one or the serious too many of them.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. Glad Joe was wrong again. Go Titans. Next man up, Super Bowl or bust while Henry is in his prime. I don't know what you're wrong about, but Heidi says you're wrong.
Why has it got to be about that, Heidi? Why has it got to be about me being wrong? Probably just I did pick the Colts to cover. Is that what she means?
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Wait, you did?
Yeah,
that's why I went 2-4 this week.
Oh, I forgot about that, Joe.
I was feeling good, too, when it was 14-13.
Got a text that says, no joke, I legitimately forgot that Evans is on the team. Constantly forget that he plays for us. I assume Darrington Evans, yeah, not Rashawn Evans.
Third-round pick. Third-round pick last year. The second-round pick, starting to, you know, make that draft class look a little bit better than totally disastrous.
By the way.
Third-round pick might help.
Something we've not talked about today on the show that happened Friday.
Yes.
Isaiah Wilson getting a workout with the Colts. What was your reaction to that? That happened right before I went on air with Caroline on Friday for Stillman & Company. That was news I did not expect to see, my friend.
Yeah, so I haven't heard any outcome. Obviously, there was no signing.
No.
But I didn't expect to see that. And then, of course, he put an Instagram post and said everything's good and forgive everyone and thanks for supporting me, those who supported me and all that stuff. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So, hey, I hope he had a lot of stuff to figure out. So hopefully he's figured it out. Could that mean he would enter the NFL again someday? Get himself back into – I still think the physical potential's there. There's a reason he went in the first round. What if he goes somewhere and has figured his life out and all of a sudden becomes like just a mashing offensive tackle in the NFL?
How would the Titans feel? How would Titans fans feel if he ends up being signed by the Colts and then goes on to start for like 7 years
Indy? He's just – yeah, just paving huge lanes for yes. Jonathan Taylor for years against you.
Just great stuff.
Then I'd start to believe in the curse, okay? Then I'd start to buy it.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens on that front. As you said, I have not heard anything, so I don't know if that means that the workout didn't go well, but I guess congrats to Isaiah Wilson for trying again.
Hey, it's better than the music career that was – There's just no chance it's going to go well.
It was, based
on what I've heard.
It was not good. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at the Corner Pub in Brentwood prior to the Titans taking on the New York Jets. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll come back. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and get into Taylor Lewan's game from yesterday, too, including some very interesting comments about the Titans fan base. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit VolStateBank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. VolState Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. We are streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So we appreciate those watching on Twitter, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Seeing the beautiful faces that Joe Rexrode and Robbie Stanley bring to the table every day. It's quite something to behold. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dave and Big Rock texting in. How do you guys think our secondary is going to deal with Corey Davis's elite downfield blocking next weekend? That is a great question. We'll have all week to discuss the Jets matchup, but I hope the Titans are game planning right now for Corey Davis's blocking that they're going to see on Sunday.
His blocking does seem more effective when he's blocking for, say, Derrick Henry than I don't even know the guys who are running the ball for the Jets right now. I don't.
Had a great day yesterday, though.
I honestly, I don't know who they are. So
I don't
know. Corey Davis was the top offensive threat, though, for the Jets in the 23-0?
Let's say.
26-0. 26-0 loss to the undefeated juggernaut Broncos.
Yes.
My gosh, Zach Wilson, another couple picks, no touchdowns, nice 42-6 rating. So that's
going well.
Great. Yeah. So their running backs, Michael Carter, 9 for 24, Ty Johnson, 3 for 17.
Sure.
No idea.
There
but
you go.
Corey Davis had 5 for 41. So really, Corey Davis is as much a focal point for the Titans defense as anyone on that on that sideline. So I'm sure Corey Davis is very motivated to, get the Titans.
I'm sure he is.
Make some plays at the Titans' expense.
I'm sure he is. We'll see what happens on that front. I thought a good game yesterday for Taylor Lewan. He gets back in there, plays well. I mean, I still don't know that he's fully back up to speed yet, but a very nice response from Taylor Lewan from week one to week three. Obviously, he did not play against the Seahawks. And talked yesterday after the game about hyperextending that knee, and they had to take a look at it, and everything is all good on that point, obviously, and he was able to play yesterday. But even more interesting were the comments that Taylor Lewan had after the game yesterday, talking about, of course, what we've talked about a lot here on this show, the reaction from Titans fans after he was booed in game one against Arizona, a lot of reaction on our text line as well and on social media about Taylor Lewan over the last couple of weeks, and it probably has not been a very fun couple of weeks for Taylor Lewan, and he talked about that yesterday, especially kind of dialing home the points on the Titans fans booing him. Here's what Taylor Lewan had to say yesterday in his press conference after the win against Indianapolis.
I cruise back on the field, and our PA announcer, I think his name is Matt, just got the job. First game, right? Announces that I'm back in the game. And these fans go to start booing. Now, here's the deal. I don't know what that's all about. Like, I'm coming back from an ACL, 10 months. Like, it's a difficult process. And, yeah, I wasn't playing well at all. That was a really hard game to get over emotionally. Mentally, that light went out. Like, that's how that week went. That's a perfect metaphor for all of us. It was a really big deal. You guys aren't going to be able to use any of this on cable. But, like, it was, man, I really wish I could have, like, articulate, like, how difficult that was. And, you know, it was just hard to hear the fans after, you know, 7-8 years of as much as I tried to do for the city boo when I came back out there. That was, or looking over at Ben, and he looked at me and smiled and shook his head, and I was like, damn, that's crazy how fast they just turned, and I'll never forget that. And it was a difficult 24 hours, a difficult 36 hours, a difficult 48 hours, and yeah, it was hard.
So that was Taylor Lewan after the game yesterday, and Joe, you hear those comments. Those are obviously pretty raw comments from Taylor Lewan, pretty emotional comments, and it's one thing to hear it. I said this earlier in the show, like, if you go back and you watch the video, and I know you were there, like, he was borderline emotional about the fans booing him and talking about that. Obviously something that he has struggled with and that he's been dealing with and it's been on his mind the last couple of weeks, but I thought some pretty interesting comments there from Taylor Lewan.
And right after all that, I changed the subject and asked him, I said, you know, about the Colts and how the Colts have had a lot of success over the years. And he's like, that's very astute of you. Like, thanks, Taylor.
Appreciate that,
buddy. But most of the press conference was that topic, which I was a little surprised. We're talking about post-game of a big win over a division rival. There's a lot of other things, that all of us, I'd say media and fans, are probably more interested in, but clearly – Taylor Lewan's still very bothered by the booing from week one. So, and I think, as we talked about earlier on the show, I think some of those comments were probably being saved for the first time that he played well in a game and could kind of move forward.
Yep.
So he got it off his chest. I think some of the reaction to it been a little bit overboard. I did think it was a little bit misplaced, and I just – whenever we get to pro athletes talking about fans booing them, you know, there's got to be some understanding here of how the whole thing works. You are rich because all these people, most of whom aren't rich, care about the product and watch it and go and pay money and in some cases scrounge the money to be able to go to these games that certainly are not inexpensive. I mean, professional and major college sports games now are really designed for people at a higher income level than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. Regular people have a hard time going to these things. So you think about all the hype for this team, the awfulness of that performance in the first week, and then just the weirdness of him being announced coming back in the game.
Yep.
Which he brought up. I mean, I think he gets that too. He's like, yeah, the new PA guy, I think his name's Matt, announced me.
It was his first game.
So he kind of called that out too yesterday. But you put all those things together, and he was booed pretty heavily. I don't know what percentage of the stadium booed him. To me, it's like, it, you know, in the moment it was emotion. I think a lot of Titans fans love Taylor Lewan, and if he was at some event right now, would Titans fans cheer? If he was announced on the stadium right now for something, would he get cheered? I think so.
Probably.
You know, it's a game of emotion, including for the fans. So I just think he made maybe a bigger deal out of it than it should have been. But, look, it was obviously emotional for him. It obviously affected him. So he got off his chest.
Yeah, like, look, I don't really have much of a problem. And I know some people, well, that's not the time and the place to be talking about stuff like this. Whatever. I don't have much of a problem with that. As you said earlier in the show, the more athletes that we can get that are honest about comments to the media and the fans after the game rather than just mindlessly scrolling through another press conference, I'm cool with. So Taylor Lewan, from that standpoint, is cool in my book. But, I mean, this was something that obviously has bothered him. I think the encouraging thing, if you're Taylor Lewan and if you're a Titans fan, is the performance was light years better in week three than it was in week one. Now, I realize that's a very low bar and that Taylor Lewan is going to have to continue to get better. But this idea that Taylor Lewan all of a sudden just can't play football anymore, I think is going to start to be squashed. If he continues to stay healthy and continue to hang around in there, I think he's going to be fine at left tackle.
I mean, people last week, again, the great news that he was on the field and was healthy, like, I didn't count it up, but, man, it was way too many people saying, why is that good news?
Right.
Or, I don't want him out there. Look at what Sombrilo did against Seattle. No. I hope you realize after watching the last game, look, I don't know if Taylor Lewan this year is going to be playing at a Pro Bowl level by the time it's over, but he's your best option. He's your best offensive lineman. He's paid a lot. He's going to be on the team this year, and it's a huge deal for him to be healthy and play well. So it was a big step in the right direction.
Well, and his personality, as Corey Curtis from News 2 pointed out earlier in the show, some people love it, some people hate it. And there's going to be things where he can do things for some people and he does no wrong, and other things, the slightest misstep, and they're going to jump all over it. And to that point, let's go to our text line.
And that's probably
by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
And that's probably a lot of the people who were booing, honestly.
Yeah. Justin from Nashville texting in, 7 to 8 years of putting up with his unnecessary BS. Cry me a river, fake tough guy. This is coming from Justin in Nashville.
Yeah, there are people who feel that. And so, look, if you don't like his personality, you don't like his personality.
Sure.
It's fine. So Friday after practice, the players were coming in. I don't even remember what he was talking about, but he was just really loud. He just yelled all this stuff and, like, making jokes and stuff. And it was one of those things where it was like, even as we were watching the press conference, it's like, see, some of the guys on this team are laughing at that stuff, and some of them are just like, okay, Taylor, all right. So some people love his stuff and the podcast and everything, and some people get annoyed by it. But I think everyone should be able to look at him and watch him play and agree that he's good.
Yeah. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Get to more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've also got some tickets to give away coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Jeff from Ashland City, who wants to weigh in on Taylor Lewan. Jeff, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I figured somebody needed to call in and at least stick up for the man, because when is the last time we talked about Taylor besides this year? The man had one bad game.
Yep.
Okay. And did anybody boo I can't remember his name, our wide receiver dropped four balls last week?
No, A.J. Brown.
A.J., okay. We're not booing him. He had a bad game. Get over it. The man's protected our quarterback for how many years, and he has a bad game and everybody wants to turn against him? He's probably one of the best linemen that in the NFL. So I just figured somebody had to call in and stick up for the poor man.
Well, thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it. Jeff calling into the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Before we respond to Jeff and go any further, I do have some tickets to give away to see MTSU take on Marshall coming up on Saturday. Be caller number three, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to see MTSU take on Marshall at Floyd Stadium coming up this Saturday. You can catch all the action on ESPN 94.9. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. and kickoff is at 6. So make sure that you get your tickets. Caller number three.
Watch MTSU almost win at Charlotte.
Yeah.
Will Healy's team,
good game.
Cunningham, played really well at quarterback. Lost a tough one, but it was a fun game to watch. Lots of text line on Lewan. Andrew, we booed the hell out of Taylor for playing bad, but we love him and are stoked for him to play great again. So you booed him, but you love him.
It's a loving boo.
Greg A says, the same people booing Taylor Lewan are the same people that will cheer and scream as he shotguns a beer on Fang Vision at the Preds game. Ron says comedians get booed and heckled as part of the business. Not everybody's going to like you or cheer for you, but you have to have thick skin in this game for opponents and fans. Jeez. Yeah, see, the thing is, again, it was like a perfect storm of things, including just an awful overall performance by him. and the team.
Well, and let's be honest here. It keeps going back to the point where had he not been announced as returning back into the game, he would have never been booed, ever.
Everybody, welcome back in. Your favorite end. Everyone's favorite. Dylan Juan. You know, it's like, everyone please boo this man. I've actually never seen that before. Like, think about how many times players get injured, you know what I mean? Or leave a game or whatever. They're out of the lineup. And you just come back and you just randomly, whatever position, you're just like, back on the field, Nick Westbrook Akina, back in the slot for the Titans. Like, huh? So, yes, quite a combination of
factors. Look, I'm cool with it. I think that needs to be something that happens every time. And now back in again after a quick breather, number 22, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He's back in there, buddy.
Randy Bullock is your kicker still. You know.
Speaking of, what did the Titans do there? Randy Bullock, perfect yesterday. If Sam Ficken is healthy in the not-too-distant future, what do the Titans do? They stick with Randy Bullock? They give Sam Ficken a look?
I don't know. I mean, Randy Bullock hit a game winner, and he's only missed one kick so far. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Ficken was kicking really well.
He was
freaking kicking really well. So, yeah, that's something to watch. Ben, by the way, on the line of the text line, says, glad he has something to motivate him again. He better have a short leash with everything he's put us through. I wouldn't re-sign him unless he earns it. I wouldn't be worried about the next contract with Lawan. The question is,
can he finish this one?
Yeah, the finishing of this deal, which is often a thing in the NFL with large deals.
Let's go back to the text line. Carrie from Nashville texting in, when is someone going to teach this kid how to pass block? He can't. Go back and watch him on pass plays, and he continuously gets beat. Third down yesterday, late game red zone. I'm specifically watching him, and he ends up sitting on his butt on a pass play. He can run block, but when it's a pass play, a quarterback needs to watch his blind side.
Yeah, now he got a $80 million contract because someone needs to teach him how to pass block. Again, Taylor Lewan coming off an ACL. He has not been vintage Taylor Lewan. I don't know if he'll get back to that. He was way better yesterday than week one. I mean, it'd be hard to be close to that bad. But the guy knows how to pass block. The guy has been an outstanding left tackle in the NFL, protecting various quarterbacks' blind sides for several years now.
Tannehill got hit twice yesterday in the pocket.
And one of them was
unblocked.
The unblocked blitzer right between Nate Davis and Quessenberry, just unblocked. Untouched, smacked him. I don't remember the other quarterback hit. I'm not saying Taylor Lewan was perfect in his pass blocking reps yesterday, but for the most part, he handled his side. And for the most part, Ryan Tannehill had time to throw.
Your concern level right now, if you're a Colts fan, you're 0-3. The Titans improved to 2-1 yesterday. You've got the Dolphins coming up, albeit the Dolphins probably without Tua, with Jacoby Brissett being the guy at quarterback. So not at full strength for Miami. How concerned are you right now if you're the Colts in this 0-3 hole that they've dug for themselves?
Well, you're desperate. You have to win this week. You win this week and you feel way better, but you have to win this week and you have a banged-up quarterback still. And, it's, you know, Jacoby Brissett revenge game. What if Jacoby Brissett and Corey Davis both get revenge on their former AFC South employers? I think Jacoby's got a better chance than Corey, but we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I still think the Colts, I like their chances. I don't know if I like them, but I think their chances are still about even to get in the playoffs, even at 0-3 right now. But you can't get to 0-4. So, must win, we're in September, the game will be in October. But must win right now, yeah. Can't go 0-4.
Dennis texting in, quote, everything he's put us through, this kid needs to learn to pass block, end quote. People are crazy, laughing emoji.
I mean, look, some people just don't like him, and so fine. Those people, probably a good percentage of the people who booed him. Some people just have, I don't even know what watching. I don't know what they've been watching.
If you don't like Taylor Lewan's personality, whatever. That's
sure.
Fine. I mean, look, there are things that Taylor Lewan does where I look at and I roll my eyes and I say, all right.
I've seen him do things in a locker room that a 13-year-old boy would be like, ooh, that's really immature.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But watch him play. I don't know what people are looking at there.
Eric in Bellevue texting in, you stick with Randy Bullock. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Maybe Randy Bullock secured himself a spot here with the Titans. I mean,
maybe.
We're talking about two games, which is a long time for a Titans kicker. And he's looked pretty good. What he missed, the one he missed was 46, right? 46-yarder?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's right. Pushed it right. And he pushed the game winner right, but it got through.
Yep.
I would say this. I get the ain't broke, don't fix it. Or yeah, ain't broke, don't fix it. I got it. I'd still like, I would want to see him out there on the field and do like the training camp thing with Ficken. Because Ficken was
kicking.
He was. I think that he was like better than what we've seen of Bullock, although it's different because it's game pressure, of course. I'm not sold that Randy Bullock just keeps this job when Ficken's ready to go.
Lance texting in, the Titans on pace for 39 to 40 sacks. Only had 19 in 2020. I mean, it's bringing it in there today.
It's incredibly difficult to be that low.
About to double it up.
Yeah, but the pressure.
Assuming they have players that can still play outside linebacker when the next week begins.
That would help. But 10 quarterback hits, 5 from Landry, 3 from Edaney. That's good. I mean, it's a quarterback who couldn't move, so you got to keep that in mind. But still, like, they got pressure on a pretty good offensive line. So there's promising things on that side of the ball.
Should be able to get after Zach Wilson on Sunday, would be my guess.
I mean,
there's not many things the Jets do well.
Boy, is he struggling.
Blocking's not one of them either.
Yeah, blocking, running, passing, catching,
kicking,
tackling, winning.
Very bad stuff from the Jets. We'll have a lot of time this week to break that down. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Make sure you stay tuned for Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.